Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is 7 o'clock. It's Tuesday. Here we are in Los Angeles and wherever you are watching from around the country, around the world. We understand we have viewers in Canada. Thank you. Appreciate that. So I guess the operative word is hot, okay?
Very.
Hot, smoky, fiery, uncomfortable. Sorry. But we've got some changes coming up that I want to talk about. I want to jump back to last week again. Thank you again to Anita Rosenberg, co-hosting in your absence, and she does a great job. She's very good at what she does in terms of feng shui and the Bazi charts. Well, we had a wonderful opportunity this past weekend to co-officiate a wedding, and Audrey separately, myself separately, we have been able to marry people.
Many people.
And this was the first time that we've had the ability and we're invited to co-officiate both of us as ministers there. And it was for the son of a longtime friend of ours. It was hot. The event was outside and en route to the West Valley at 3:30, it was 118 degrees.
It was down
a little bit from the record setting 121 that was in Woodland Hills. And as the evening went on, it did cool off a bit. We are going to get a break from the weather, and we already are getting a break. But here's the break that I want to talk about astrologically. Mars is going to turn retrograde tomorrow. And Mars goes retrograde every other year. And everyone's going, oh my God, another retrograde planet. We already have Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And when Mars goes retrograde, it becomes anti-fire. All right.
Thank God.
Is the god of war. All right. Mars rules Aries, which is a fire sign. And every other year, when Mars goes retrograde, it actually helps, you know, diffuse fire season. So this is sort of a, and it will be retrograde for about 6 weeks, I believe. Now, here's the other part of this, which is going to help things. And this is another big yay, okay? Jupiter is going to go direct on the 12th. This is an astrological milestone for Jupiter to go direct because it is going to help pull us out of the financial funk that some are witnessing, okay?
Moving and grooving with the money.
And also, but Jupiter isn't just money. It's growth, luck, abundance, expansion. So when Jupiter is retrograde, and it has been since mid-May, around May 11th, things contract, you know, like a balloon that has a small hole in it, and it just shrinks, and it shrinks and shrinks and begins to shrivel. Now, with Jupiter going direct, it's going to blow things up again. And then, of course, as we've said, you know, so many times, there's other planets that are going to go direct the end of the month in early October, and we'll let those planets do what they do. So Mars retrograde, really good news, better news. So that's a sort of a for everybody out there.
To get back to that heat, I just want to say we're sending so much love and light to all of you that are affected by these fires. They are just massive, especially here in California, but there's in other states as well. And it's just such a trying time for people. So we just want you to know we're thinking about you and holding you in the highest. And for all of us in the areas that are dealing with the smoke, you know, stay inside as much as possible. It's a pretty big deal. There are a lot of toxins in there.
Well, part two is it's one thing when natural materials burn, but when structures burn, those are man-made particulates that are not good to breathe in. Not that any smoke is good, but when man-made particulates, building materials, and so on and so forth, plastics and, you know, the insulative material homes to
breathe that in. Stay inside.
Definitely. And, you know, and like fires will start in natural ways. The one fire started recently in a very unfortunate way where people were well-meaning and having a celebration. And people just have to be aware that when it's really hot outside, things, you know, go up.
Yep.
You know, like a torch.
Pay attention.
Pay attention. Speaking of paying attention, a couple more things to get out of the way before we jump into everything tonight. Next week, beginning Monday, is a new group of freshmen come to the Newmont Center to study sentient healing. That is an 11-week course. There are a lot of people signed up to take it.
And I get to be in it. Yay!
She gets to be in it. Merlin said she has to come back and take it again. She took it years ago.
I was one of his worst students, just saying. I'll be the best this time.
She will. She's actually very good. She can actually do the energy work. She just doesn't advertise it like that.
Because I send everybody to him.
And, well, one thing that's lovely, and this could be an entire show too, is that this coming Friday, the 11th, which I know for a lot of people, September 11th is a horrific day. And for the world, it is. But that was September 11th, 2001. September 11th, 1999 is when I met Audrey at an event, a birthday party for a mutual friend. So we have a big celebration this Friday.
21 years.
We've known each other. Okay. So I know, right? It's awesome. So sentient healing begins next week. If you are interested in studying healing techniques that are very advanced and very cutting edge, get in touch with me, nnewmont@gmail.com, or call the center at 818-865-8770. And if you have questions, ask. One other thing that's coming up that's on the calendar that I do want to mention before too much time gets by us. Gary Stewart, our yes. longtime friend Gary, that does constellation healing work, is going to be here Sunday, September 20th. If you have not experienced constellation work, it is phenomenal. It helps us release the fact that we take on our ancestors' pain. If you'd like more information, get in touch with me or Audrey here at the center by email or by phone. Audrey's number is 818-665-6165, and she is anewmont@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And look forward to having Gary back, because we've gone about almost 6 months, and we haven't had outside presenters here for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and we're going to be having Sheena Metal coming in soon. So Sheena, if you're listening, we are getting you in here very soon. So we're looking forward to all of you.
Right, and Dr. Michael McGuire will be doing a workshop here soon also. So people are getting back in the swing of things.
Thank goodness.
Yes, yes, yes.
And hey, I have one more announcement to make.
Please.
We have our Lauren Grant collection here. It's still, the pop-up shop is open. And if you haven't noticed, this piece of, what is this?
That's topaz.
It is gorgeous. And she even made the back of it beautiful as well. And these gorgeous earrings that are quartz crystals. She has beautiful things. We actually sold 3 of her pieces today.
We did.
So if you're interested, let us know. We've got that still going on here. Anything else?
We have a lot of our candles. We haven't done that. We've talked about crystals, but we've never really gotten into the candles and all that.
We have a whole line of those things. Well, we'll talk about those another time.
And yes, yes. So there is always something going on at the Newmont Center that's good and fun, very enlightening, very illuminating. And also, you know, our show we call Mainstream Metaphysics. And I was thinking about this today, that we are anything in what we do, mainstream. We're so not mainstream, but we're bringing what we do into the mainstream, especially what I do. You do more therapy and counseling in what you do, but you do have your own way that you do it and your own program that you do, which is being an innovator is, you know, kudos to you. But I know that in what we do, we are not the norm. And not used to what we do, because in Los Angeles, people are really into, you know, metaphysics and ritualism and paranormal and everything that goes on. But if you ever have questions, you know, let us know. Mm-hmm. We're here to inform, and also we are not here to convince anyone of anything. We're simply here to offer what we do, and we bring a lot of people onto the show who are truly long studied in their craft, in their art, in their practice. And everybody that we bring on the show is educated in what we do. We don't have anyone come on the show who took a weekend course somewhere and all of a sudden they hang out a shingle.
No, we bring in the best of the best.
And we do know the best of the best, and we are lucky and fortunate. No, yes, we do. And
looking for our notices.
Exactly. So with our show, this was really Audrey's idea about tonight. We want to talk about the difference between mind control versus hypnosis. And the reason Audrey was so adamant and suggesting that we see the difference, mind control, I went along with it. No. Audrey really wants to talk about this tonight because there is so much that's being thrown at us. And on the show, you have heard us, or if you know us in person, we have said be very careful with, you know, watching the news. Merlin has talked about it. And because people, when they are fearful, they go into a state of hypersuggestibility. And when people are in that state, everything comes in and you're like a suggestive pincushion. Everything gets in too close.
So just to be clear, with everything that's going on right now, if you're in fear on a level, there's some mind control going on. Just right. It boils down to it. If you're here and healthy right now and things are okay for you in the moment and you're in fear about a possible future, there's the high probability that your mind has been in some way, shape, or form controlled. So one of the reasons that I wanted to do this tonight is to have you understand what that looks like, and more importantly, how to get beyond that other people controlling your mind in any way, shape, or form, and you controlling yourself, and you coming right from a position of empowerment.
Right. So theory of mind and the concept of how hypnosis works.
Look what Nick put together.
Yeah, my lovely fifth grade art.
All right, now you got to explain it.
Okay, so the theory, this is what I present to people when they come for their first session of hypnotherapy for me. And keep in mind, I say hypnotherapy, I don't say hypnosis, because stage hypnosis and things like that, that's a whole nother ball game and making fun of people. So what happens is, and the area that I want to focus on is that your conscious mind is the area of decisions that you make, what you want, your willpower, which is huge, and everything that has to do with logic, reasoning, and analytical abilities. And so your willpower is never compromised unless you let it be compromised. I get clients in, and all of you know that I am a psychic, and people are very suggestible to psychics, especially when they're worried about something or concerned something's not going to work or the worst is going to happen. And so I'm very careful about what I say to people and how I say it, because there's a big percentage of the population that is very superstitious, and there's a big percentage of the population all over the world, believe it or not, in 2020, these modern times, that believe that people can put curses on them. And it's not funny, and you may be at home or watching going, laughing, and it, in a way, it is laughable, but to that individual, it's not funny. And there, people can't put curses on people unless someone is suggestible and susceptible to that information affecting them. And as Audrey said, that when people are into fear, they are giving up their power and they are susceptible to things that are suggested to them. So the part that I want to focus on is the willpower and the environment. And your subconscious mind is affected four ways. Your conscious mind is affected four ways: from things that you remember, signals that come from your body. In other words, you're hungry, sleepy, whatever. Your conscious mind is always thinking, but the thing that we have to pay attention to is the environment. And the environment is subtitled as people. So when we meet people, we are, we are affected by people. Like if you're walking down the street and someone that you don't know smiles at you, there is a tendency to smile back. Say you go into a store and maybe the kid bagging the groceries is in a bad mood and he gives you this look and you're kind of like, whoa, what was that? You know, we do get affected. Now, when we are fearful, this is the part that we have to pay attention to. This seam between the conscious and the subconscious is called the critical area of mind. And the job of the critical area is to block input coming from the environment that we don't need. For instance, you almost have a car accident and there's screeching of tires and all that and your palpitations and you're sweating, but you didn't have an accident. So that will dissipate and not continue to go down through the into the body. Well, for the purpose of positively affecting with hypnotherapy, the suggestions that come from the hypnotherapist come in and things are said repeatedly to disorganize the critical area of mind so that it can open up and receive positive suggestions and go into memory so that positive change can take place. However, when we are affected in a negative way because we're fearful from the environment, this again will become disorganized. And now we are open and prone to whatever negative suggestions are being put in. And when people repeat something over and over again, and we get peppered with that, we can start to break down. Now, I remember, and I didn't even bring this up to you. Put this down. Yes. So a couple of years ago, Audrey and I were watching The Bachelor. All right. Why? Because we do. Because it's an interesting study in psychology.
And because our kids wanted us to.
And it's good for a few laughs. So with The Bachelor, one of the girls, you know, the beginning night where they meet all the girls. Mm-hmm. So this one girl, and see if you remember this, is talking to The Bachelor and she's saying, hi, it's good to meet you and you love me. And I've really glad to get to know you and you love me. And we were just sitting there laughing at these feeble attempts to try to program this guy. And it was, he just kind of looked at her when she left, like, what? Mm-hmm. So she said it three or four times. Obviously, it didn't work. So my point is, if you don't want something to be suggested to you and you don't want to take it on, your will is strong enough to push that away. Let me say it with another better therapeutic example. There are times that people call me because they want to stop smoking. And the conversation will go something like this. Hi, do you work with smoking cessation? Yes. How can I help you? Well, I need to stop smoking. Okay. Well, why? Well, because my doctor said my heart's not in good shape. My wife is tired of it stinking up the house and she doesn't want me doing it anymore. Well, Bob, but why do you want to stop smoking? Oh, I don't want to stop smoking. I just need to. I say, thanks so much for calling. I just saved you thousands of dollars. When you want to stop smoking, call me and I can help you. Now, the point of that is his will is strong. He does not want to. That's his conscious mind. So if the conscious mind is not going to allow suggestions to go through it, how can it get through the critical area of mind into the subconscious where the behavior changes? It's not going to work. So, and there are exercises I do in an introductory session to show people how fast hypnosis can work, but how much power that they have over it. And what that looks like is I'll tell them to sit back and close their eyes, take a big deep breath, feet flat on the floor, hands in their lap, And then I will say, and they do all that. Now go stand in the corner on your head. Well, they do something like this and they start laughing. Obviously, they're not going to do that. So the reason I do something that's so absurd is to point out that the first four things I said, like close your eyes, breathe, hands in your lap, feet on the floor, is that it's normal and natural. It's not because I'm so, I don't have such this big, strong power of suggestion. As soon as something is said out of context, it breaks because they're not going to do that. That's the power of the conscious mind. Now, I'll tell you a very funny story, and then you take over. So some years ago, I was working with a female who was in her 40s, and I only had her name. I didn't know who she was. And I did that same exercise, and I get to go stand in the corner, on your head. And she woke, sort of looked around like this. And I came to realize, I didn't know this, she was a former Olympic gymnast. And she was looking for a corner to go stand on her head.
I never heard that one.
I know, it's funny. And so, look, she would have done it because it's her nature to do that. So the joke was on me in that case. So that's what clinical hypnotherapy looks like. It's for self-improvement. Now, you're wanting to talk about what, you know, mind control is.
So I want to talk about mind control. And I want to say that mind control is a wide stretch of things. It can be very minor and it can be a very big thing. And just to be clear, we've all been mind controlled at some point or another. Just at first, we are susceptible to mind control because our minds are very empty. So we start getting the input, and I like to think about it like it's a computer. So we are taking on the programs of our mind. So on a level from 0 to 8, if you're using the car analogy, our parents or whoever is the influence, whoever the caretakers are in the front seat, the kids are in the back seat, and we're all just watching how our influencers drive. So we're also being influenced by them, by what they're saying to us. So I like to use myself as an example with this, because between 0 to 8, we take on the program of who we are. And my mother, God bless her, she would tell me, or she'd tell other people and me, you know, she's cute, but she's not that smart. And she'd call me the dumb one. And I have all these letters where she would write to my father, where that to me as a kid. So I take on a program, my mind has been controlled, and I've taken on a program that I'm cute, but not that smart. So it got to be a little awkward when I went through my very not cute stage, and it was quite the challenge. Yeah. So fast forward, I start having my own issues in life, because when you're going about the world as a stupid person, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen. And I also had a program that was running that I wasn't very valuable and worthy as well. So it was quite the combination. So fast forward, I started at Agape Spiritual Center, where I became a practitioner, and they would tell me, Audrey, you're intelligent. And I'd be like, you know, I'm kind of street smart, but I'm not really that bright, really. I mean, it's okay. And they'd be like, no, you're intelligent. I never got it. I got it because I got Hypnosis Motivation Institute, and I understand how the mind works. And that whole theory of mind that Nick was showing you, we learn that, and we learn what the subconscious mind is, all the programs that we pick up, all the belief systems, and then, you know, what is the conscious mind? So even in that, I didn't fully get who I am as a smart person. It was when I started studying the science afterwards, and especially Greg Braden, he wrote a book called The Divine Matrix. And he explained in that book what intelligence is. And when I understood that, it went from being, oh, wait a minute, I'm not stupid. I'm actually highly intelligent. And in that instant, I was able to change the belief of who I am from a stupid person, not that smart, to an intelligent person thinking into this. And I'm telling you, my world changed. And it was a process of changing. So the gift in it is, when I was thinking I was stupid, I had a certain belief system And now I study a lot of science, a lot of things where I can bring that information to people who think that they're not that smart. So when you're looking at your life and when my clients come in, Nick is more of a clinical hypnotherapist. And what I do in the program that I share with people is I teach them how to hypnotize themselves. So it's a process of looking at what have I taken on as a belief system. So one of the reasons that I wanted to share this tonight is because we've all been in various forms of lockdown and various forms of whatever for this whole period of time. And I know many people have gone through days, if not weeks, if not very much of the months, with a feeling of fear and a feeling of dread. And I want you to think about it. In all that time, for many of us, you've been okay, right?
Yes.
It just makes me feel a little, because all that time where we're sitting there and we're thinking of some kind of impending doom, we're thinking of what could possibly happen, we're not living the fullness of our lives in that moment. So why would we think like that? Why would all this be going on? Just going to say, you can look right at mainstream news and you can look at various things that influence us. So when we are in a state of fear, like what Nick was saying before, we're stressful. So Becca Hennessy, caught my eye. Listen, when it boils down to it, it's a super important moment for us all to recognize that if you're in any way, shape, or form feeling fear, and you're in the middle of your life right now, and you're not affected by it yourself, and you have what you need, you got to look at what am I fearing, and what is the influence that is causing the fear? And I have shared with many, many clients that it would be a good idea to turn off the news. And so the other part of it is, it's important to get all kinds of information right now. And I know I've been saying this every week, but I'm going to say it yet again this week. When you are owning your own mind, there's a part of it where you want to look at what is the information that I can know is true? Like a lot of different information since this whole thing started. And I kept looking at various things and it's like, well, I don't know that that's true. And I don't know that that's true either. But what I do know is this is true because I can see documentation, government files that says that that's true. And I can look at all these different ways of finding the information, all these different information, and I can sift and sort through it. And then I can watch people on YouTube that say, this is true. And then I'm telling you, this has been months. There's been a few people who said, this is true. And then it happened. They'd say, this is true again. And it happened. So I keep following those people because they keep showing me this is true and it's happening. So I'm not being mind controlled as much as I'm looking for my mind to be able to sift through the information and make my own decision. Because a lot of times when we're watching the news, we're watching mainstream media, as you call it, it's geared towards a certain thing. Like I was watching a commercial yesterday. And it was just, for me, it was rather sad. And it had to do with wearing the mask. And it really right. brought up these feelings of fear and sadness and all of this stuff. And I was like, I'm not so sure that that is true, everything that they were saying on it. So am I saying don't wear a mask? No. Am I saying wear a mask? No. Do what is right for you. Do what's right for the people around you. Like for me personally, if I know somebody around me could possibly be susceptible, I'll put on a mask, absolutely no problem. But I'm not going to wear a mask in my car with the windows up, and I'm not going to wear a mask on my hikes. I just don't need to. There's no reason. It's not just floating around in the air waiting to attack me.
Right.
You want to add some stuff to this?
Well, when it comes to television, and this has been going on even with best of intentions, you know, we are susceptible to what's on TV because we're being sold things. And also, this is a word that does not get used very much, but television has a somniferous effect on people. In other words, a somnambulist is someone who goes to sleep very easily, mm-hmm. is put to sleep. Like people, a person who's a somnambulist, we in hypnosis see that as a very good client because mm-hmm. they'll go out very easily. But when we say that television has a somniferous effect, it means that it's sort of lulling you in the way it's presented. And also it's attention getting. For a long time, do you ever would switch to a commercial? The volume of the commercial was louder than the program you were watching because it's there to get your attention. It's, you know, we've been under the auspices of Madison Avenue. For those of you who are a little bit younger, maybe you don't know what that means. In other words, Madison Avenue, New York, you know, advertising, the advertising agencies to sell a product. You know, that's not manipulation. It just is. You know, everybody has a product. Everybody has a product to sell. And, you know, when you get to the holidays, when you get to basically, you know, November 1st, then kids watch whatever channel they're watching and they're hit with this toy and Barbie and these Xbox and PlayStation. And it just goes on and on and on.
I remember our kids clearly.
I want that.
I have to have that thing.
Right.
And they make it very appealing.
And I mean, but for the adults is, you know, in fact, for several years, they've been running the same Mercedes and Lexus commercials where Santa Claus is in the reindeer driving the Mercedes. And then the Lexus is outside and it's wrapped in a big red bow and the guy gets it for Christmas because he's been wanting a car. He'd run to the window and they show the progression of this guy aging. And there he is, an adult. And there's the car in his driveway right. as an adult. So, I mean, it's advertising is designed to do what it does, sell.
So there's another part of this that I want to go into that I think is really important, and it has to do with us gaining control of our mind and literally what yeah. that looks like. So when we're talking about suggestibility is another word for we're taking on information. And by the way, if you have any questions about all this, you can ask a question in these
in the Facebook,
in the watch parties.
In the watch party.
So when we are suggestible, it means we're open to the suggestions that people are putting out there.
And by the way, there is a quotient that you are tested on when you come here. Your suggestibility, meaning it's a percentage. It's not a test that you pass or fail. It's simply, are you more literal or are you a more inferential? And we do that on purpose to test your suggestibility quotient.
So I want to explain to everybody how we could all be more suggestible right now to literally what's going on and how this happens. And I'm going to relate it to the car analogy. So for all of us, we've been driving along and all of a sudden in February, things started getting a little awkward. And by March, things were getting kind of bad. And for all of us, we went into a bit of a shock and we went into lockdown. And then we started having all of these deaths that started happening and it started to get very scary. I mean, terrifying for some people. So if you're using the car analogy, it's kind of like this. You're driving along and all of a sudden out of nowhere, you have a trauma. And it's a pretty big trauma for a lot of us. And let's just say when you have a trauma and your car hits a wall, it's kind of like, and we get dented. And I'm just going to say for a lot of us that have had prior traumas, every time you have a trauma, it's kind of like you get a dent in your car and some of the trauma gets loaded up in your trunk. So each time you have a trauma, it is like it's harder to move forward in a much more in a smooth kind of way like it would have been before you hit the wall. So the more that people have the trauma and the more dented up they get, the more it gets to be where instead of going forward in the dented car, what they do is they start to take another car. And so this car that's feeling the trauma kind of gets shut down. And then the car that continues to go on is like, oh, everything's okay. Everything's all right. We'll just keep moving forward, or they'll hibernate. I don't want to be with anybody. I just want to lock myself up in here. I just want to be alone, or whatever it is that you do that is your coping mechanism. So at this point, what happens is we get a little split. We get a little bit of what we call a disassociation. And there's that part of us where we kind of compartmentalize in a way that we can literally, you know, deal. So with this bit of information, it's super important as we're about to start going back out into the world again to start to integrate and bring yourself back to a healed and full and functioning place again. And to be clear, there's nothing wrong with taking two cars. There's nothing wrong with disassociating. There's a term for it in one of the parts of all of this, and it's called cognitive dissonance. And that's that part when we take a car and we're like, I can't even look at that stuff. I don't believe it. It's a conspiracy theory. I'm not going to go there. I can't even look at it. And to be clear, I get it. There's a lot of things that are going on right now that are very challenging to look at. And it's understandable that we would say, it's a conspiracy theory. I don't want to go there. I don't want to look at it. And for some people that I've talked to, they do look at it and they say, oh, you know what? I can't look at that again. It just hurts too much. I can't look at it. Either way around it, it's already in your consciousness. And it's a subconscious fear that's now rolling. So the reason that I wanted to bring all of this up is because for this moment in time right now, when you start to focus on being present in your car to move forward in a way that is with divine right action taking place, moving forward and gathering your troops around you, moving forward and saying, I'm going to be present for a future that is going to be much better. Because to be clear, whatever fearful things you're hearing, it's just what you're hearing. It doesn't mean it's true.
Right. And even in, you know, going back into March and early April, there are people that we know that people, like reasonable people, but got very panicked. And people, I don't know where people get this information, but they were taught when we were talking about to court, sort of the stay-at-home order, you know, people are talking about that they're hearing that there was going to be martial law and you couldn't leave. And it's like, no. Let's not put that kind of thing out there, you know, because people are fearful enough. And there's been restriction that's gone on. And sadly, the reality is that people's businesses have suffered. It's not just people on a mental and emotional level. There is a reality that's taken place for some people. However, you know, it's as Audrey is saying, is when we are suggestible and we go into fear, then we start to take on the imagination of what the worst is that can happen. And that's why we're saying this tonight, is don't go there. You have to be reality-based about what's going on and think through things. And also, if you are experiencing anxiety from fear, like you don't have to come to us for that. Feel your truth. In other words, if you're watching something on the news and it strikes you a certain way, how does that feel when that goes into your body? Are you kind of, okay, so what? It's not good. Or are you taking that on and you feel anxiety? Notice where that anxiety is. Are you tight in your shoulders, your neck, your chest, your stomach? And your anxiety coping mechanism at that point is to literally exercise, breathe, and exercise those body parts, work that out of you so it doesn't get embedded in the muscle memory, in the cellular memory.
Yeah.
Because if that's not comfortable, that's not your truth. And your truth is your truth. Not what the news tells you, not what Audrey and I tell you. Your truth is your truth. And that's when you are empowered. And if you say, no, I'm not taking that on, and even if something did happen to someone you know that wasn't good, that doesn't mean it happens to you. Your reality is your reality. That's what's important to know. And you create that reality with your thoughts.
I want to add, in that theory of mind that he was showing, in the subconscious mind, one of the main tools that I use for that, for helping my clients work through their unconscious beliefs, you know, their things that are literally not serving them. One way you can know, and I'm going to back it up a little bit. There's this thing about being mindful. And everybody's like, oh, we all have to be more mindful. You have to pay attention to your thoughts. Before mindfulness, you really need to be paying attention to your feelings. Your feelings are what is going to lead you to the thoughts, because the thoughts a lot of times are just rolling around and we get stuck on the victimization loop and we're just on a thought and we're not even thinking that we're thinking the thought. It's just running the show. But you know when you're angry, you know when you're anxious, you know when you don't feel good. And to be clear, every single time you're in what I call fear feelings, it's always that subconscious program that is not yours. It's a mind program that you took on from somebody else, some experience, something that is not literally your truth. So when you're feeling bad, stop the car, stop yourself. There's something going on here that's not my truth. Do the investigative work around this. Is it real? You know, this thing with COVID right now, for a lot of people, it's not in your home. It's not even in your family. It could be in some friends. It could be wherever. But look and see, is it affecting you in the moment? If it's not, take a deep breath. Be grateful for your health. Do all the things that you can to build up your immune system. And to be clear, when you are in those fear feelings, it's breaking down your immune system. So one of the best things that you can do is to choose calm. And there's all these meditations that you can do. I've got some on my website. You know, there's all these ways that you can meditate. Go out and for a walk and meditate. Do whatever to bring your heart rate back down. Bring yourself to an authentic calm. That'll build up your immune system. Love each other more. Laugh more. Play games with each other. Do things to be present with other people that bring you joy. So you want to add to that?
No, I've heard so many people saying that in this in the last 6 months, how there's a lot of things that they do within their household that they hadn't done for a while. And they rediscovered that closet that has all the board games.
We've been playing Rummy a lot.
Yeah, cards and a few other things too. So look, there's a lot that can be done, and we are turning around. There is one more thing that I do want to add. So we've seen this graph that they put up, you know, on the news where the cases, you know, the COVID cases are going down. And there was this correlation between people having more freedom to do what they wanted to do, and then the cases went up. Now things are starting to go back and start to open up again. That doesn't mean the cases are going to go up again. You know, people, I do see the fear in people. And there's one, I'll just say this real quick. There's one grocery store that I go into, and there's a longtime employee in there. And when she's in the checkout line, she has her mask on, she has gloves. And when she has to hand people change a receipt, she actually goes like this. And you know, and I'm compassionate to that. And I think myself, poor woman, you know, she's just so concerned that something is going to happen, that people react the way they do. So like Audrey said, breathe yourself back into calm, use anxiety coping mechanisms, release from wherever your body is tight. And as we roll on, you know, one thing that I do, and everyone's got their choice, in my library of music that I have, that I play in my car, I have a ton of stand-up comedy in there.
Craig Shoemaker.
I love comedy. I was a stand-up comic for a while. But as we get to the end, and there's a lot of great comics that are not on the planet anymore. and they are missed. But there's a routine by Richard Jenny, and I've seen him live several times, that goes back to 1992, and he's talking about the news. And he said, they should just call it the bad news. The anchor should just come out with a robe and a sickle and say, all right, here's who's dead. And that was 28 years ago he was talking like that.
Right.
And when we watch the news, it's like, it's a lot of bad news. It's like everything that, as Richard said, every bloody, disgusting thing that happened that day, all put together in a half an hour and right before you go to bed.
Right. So I have a suggestion. On many of our smart TVs, you can bring up YouTube and you can watch YouTube instead of the news on your TV. Start looking for anyone who is talking about a possible great future. There's a guy that I've been watching. His name is Charlie Ward. I think he's fantastic. He's on YouTube. Another person is, well, you know what? I'm not going to give a whole bunch of people. Start doing your own research. Start looking for possible futures that have a good outcome to it, because I'm going to say there's a lot of good things in the works.
Sure.
And I can't even stress enough. I feel really, really good about the future. So if you're feeling bad about the future, stop watching and doing what you're doing and start looking for anything that's going to point you in the right direction for things to be whatever positive.
And what's very important too, if you do watch the news, and there are times there's things that you do need to know about, don't watch it right before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
So people ask about self-hypnosis and meditating. 30 minutes before you go to sleep, we in hypnotherapy call magic time. And that's when the brain waves begin to slow down and go into theta, where the mind is the most susceptible to change. So what you do before you go to sleep is a form of hypnosis. So if you're watching Friday the 13th movies, which is the same as watching the news most of the time, you are programming yourself into ugly things going into your mind. And then you wake up in the next morning wondering why you didn't sleep well, or you had these ugly, crazy dreams. Watch something fun, watch something informative, meditate, read something good, journal.
Actually, I have a suggestion. There's this guy, well, you know what? I'm not going to give any suggestions, but there's some really good books on Audible that are fantastic to listen to. Listen to one of those before you're going to sleep.
And if you want to know that, write to Audrey and she'll tell you that,
yeah,
you know, individually, because not everything is good for everybody, even though they're good things.
Honey, does that say
what?
7:49 already?
It does say 7:49. We have to squint to look at the time on the computer. The time is gone. And so now that you've watched us, and for those of you on the East Coast, it's getting close to your bedtime. We've put you to sleep.
Hi, Kirby.
Anyway, I hope this has helped. It's a little different topic than what we normally present, but we are concerned and we do care about your well-being and what you are prone to and what's being thrown at us. And by the way, there's a lot of good that is coming at us too. It's not all mind. Oh, hey, Mav. In the early 90s, I read the Silva Mind Control Method. That's what the book was called. And anyone that's my age knows those books. But they weren't the kind of mind control that we're talking about. Those Jose Silva programs and books were about how to get control of your own mind, mm-hmm, and how to create and be productive. They were excellent. So it's funny that something that was so good written about 30 years ago would have a title to it that we're looking at is we have to be careful with.
Right.
But the mind control method was great stuff, and I'm glad that I read it.
So we just want to say thank you for watching. Thank you for supporting us. If there's anything ever that you would like for us to talk about, you know, you can send us an email anytime.
Sure.
Anumont or Nnumont at website, same thing, Audrey Newmont, nicknewmont.com. And we just want to thank you so much for all of your support. And if you could share these videos, that would be great too. And we wish you a fantastic week.
Take care of yourself. Take care of each other, And we will see you right back here next Tuesday at 7 o'clock on LA Talk Radio.
Have a good one.
Good night.
Bye.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.